You're listening to the Monica Cade podcast, where we bring you stories and interviews that support you to find your voice and express yourself authentically. We welcome you into the private lives of some of the best thought leaders, creative minds, and entrepreneurs around. Hear them share actionable ways that you can become more aware and purposeful in creating your best life. You can find the show notes on our website, monicacade.com, or follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Monica Cade. But for now, let's dive into the show. Today we're talking to Jason Kalipa, who graduated from Santa Clara University in 2008. He also won the CrossFit Games that year and opened CrossFit Santa Clara in the same month. With a passion for fitness and an uncanny ability to develop and lead a supportive community, he's been destined for greatness. Since he's opened CrossFit Santa Clara, he's now opened 20 additional locations worldwide. He founded NC Fit, formerly NorCal CrossFit, established widespread corporate wellness programs, he's modernized fitness in the hospitality sector, and revolutionized the way people think of fitness. During the 8 separate CrossFit Games he's participated in, Jason's competed as an individual for 7 consecutive years and as a team competitor in his 8th year. He has won every regional competition he's participated in, which is pretty outstanding. So I'm really excited to welcome him to our conversation today. Hello, Jason. Thanks for joining me today.
I'm happy to be on the show.
So I wanted to start our conversation by asking you, when was the point growing up that you realized you had a love for fitness?
That's an interesting question. I mean, so for me, at an early age, you know, I was into soccer and different sports, and then I got introduced to BMX racing. Mm-hmm. And some local guys in our neighborhood used to ride bikes and BMX, and I really fell in love with it. And I think at an early age, I recognized that, you know, if you put in the conditioning work, my performance was better. And what I found was that, you know, my friends who had not conditioned much wouldn't do as well on the track. And so at night, I would spend a lot of time, you know, doing, they used to call them rollers. So like these things in the garage where you basically put your bike on it and then it doesn't go anywhere. You just basically spin more or less. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of where the love for fitness I started. And then after that, it was because I wanted to look good. And then after that, it was because, you know, I wanted to be better at football. And then I got into a little bit of Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu. Then I got found CrossFit and just changed the whole game.
Mm-hmm. Was sports and fitness a part of your family?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was like huge, but yeah, it was. I mean, I was encouraged by my family. You know, I was encouraged, especially with group sports like football and soccer. But growing up, I mean, it definitely wasn't like overtly encouraged, but it wasn't not encouraged. Mm-hmm. I would say that I encouraged my children more than my parents encouraged me, for sure. Mm-hmm. I just kind of, I don't know. I mean, and I'm always curious what could have happened if I had gotten into certain things earlier, but you know, you never know. So mm-hmm. as of right now, I'm very content with how that all went down, but my parents always supported me. They always have, and they always, I assume, will, but they never like overly pushed sports.
Yeah, sure. So on that point, it's interesting that you say that you wonder what would have happened if you got into certain things earlier on, and I've had that thought for myself before, and that's more aligned with surfing. I wonder if I got into it when I was really young, if I would be better at it. Do you think that you can still become really good at something as you age, or do you think the people that start younger do really have an advantage?
Well, I mean, look, I think you can get good at anything whenever you want. I think it just depends on the amount of work and amount of dedication you want to put. But that being said, there's something I like to think about, like earned confidence versus perceived. And I think that, you know, if you have a kid, for example, my son, I have him in different sports right now. He's 4 years old. I have him in track and field right now, or gymnastics, or et cetera. At an early age, he's learning how to compete. He's learning how to utilize his body. And so he's earning the confidence as he gets older that when he gets to be, let's just say, I don't know, 15, he's going out for football, as an example, let's just say. Mm-hmm. He'll have, you know, a decade's worth of practice in other sports to give him the mindset, the emotional, the physical benefit compared to his peers who maybe haven't had as much exposure to physical competition. And so I do think at an early age, if you can get started in any type of physical activity, it's going to help you specifically on how to compete and how to win and lose. Mm. I think if nothing else, let's just take surfing. Like, you know, are these kids developing better physical skills? Sure, they're learning how to, you know, surf at a higher level. But I also think they're learning how to overcome adversity. They're probably going to compete in different surf competitions at a young age where there'll be pros and cons and wins and losses. And I think that over time, you become a lot better at coping with that. You know, using myself as an example, when I first got into CrossFit, when I was 21 or 20, it was a lot different than by the time I was more mature, like at 28. And I was kind of, I would say, hitting the peak of my career, like let's just say 28, 29, 27, 28, because I now had like 8 years of competition experience. It wasn't so much the physical aspects, it was the mental ability to overcome those things.
Mm. It's interesting that you touch on that. So I've noticed, and I've had conversations with friends around this as well, when you watch the games and you see the athletes that haven't had so much experience, they come in and they tend to burn out a lot quicker. Do you think it comes down to that experience that you've just spoken about there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to that experience. I think it also comes down to, you know, why do they want to be there? What is their purpose? You know, I think CrossFit, you know, people think you get famous and make a bunch of money, but the reality is that there's a very small select people that do. And so you got to know why you want to be there, what are your goals, and, you know, work hard to accomplish them. But if you don't have a strong internal why of why you want to go there, when things get challenging, you're not going to be able to overcome it, in my opinion. It's going to be a lot harder for you to do that. Mm. Whereas if you take someone like, I'll give you an example, Matt Frazier started competing at a very young age in Olympic weightlifting, which transfers over really well to CrossFit, obviously. But he learned how to have an internal drive of why he wanted to compete and then overcome any adversity. And I think that's why he's thriving so much right now.
Yeah, he's incredible. And I love, and even when he talks about his sport, you know, it's just like he's all in. There's nothing else, and you can really feel that.
It's all in.
Yeah, 100%. What was it that intrigued you and made you want to get into CrossFit?
I think for me, what it really was the idea that you can get more work done in less time. I like the idea that you can compete with your friends and that you can have a coach to support you. And really what it was the results that I found from it. You know, for a lot of years, I was doing traditional, you know, bodybuilding type stuff or Muay Thai. But when I found the intensity and the effort that came behind these quick, aggressive workouts, and when I really learned how to, you know, optimize it, it really changed the game for me. I think that's what I fell in love with. And, you know, from a business side, I fell in love with the idea that you kind of gave people a journey to follow. You know, sometimes when I was working at the traditional gym, I would sell people a dream that I knew I wasn't setting them up for success for. And so giving them a group-style class, I think, sets them up for better success.
Mm. Now, I would like to touch on your CrossFit Games win.
Sure.
I'd love to know what goes through your body and your mind in the moment that you've realized that you've won. What's that experience for an athlete for you?
I think in 08, it was a very, it'll never happen again in CrossFit. It was very emotional, very intense, because the way they did it in 2008, which is different than now, is that whoever won the final workout won the overall event. Mm. And the reason why that was able to be happening is because for example, you accumulated a total time. Let's just say, you know, some guy's time was 10 minutes and my accumulated time was 12 minutes. The person who was in first at 10 minutes started the workout first. Mm-hmm. Then 2 minutes later, I started it. Now, if I won, my cumulative time would be less because I caught up to him, right? Mm-hmm. And then I won the overall event. So in that particular case, whoever won that final event, because of the way we staggered it, they won overall. So when I finished my last rep, I knew I had won the CrossFit Games. And it was extremely exciting. I mean, it wasn't as exciting it didn't mean as much to me then as finishing, you know, second in 2013 and third in 2014. I'd say arguably my greatest accomplishment was taking third in 2014. And, you know, first in 08 was great, but then to span that many years and then come back and take a third, for me, was a big moment, because getting back on the podium, you know, for a third time, and all the work I put in to get there, it was just totally a different experience. Mm-hmm. In 08, you know, I'd only been doing CrossFit for like a year. In 2014, I'd been doing CrossFit for 8 years, 9 years, and I had put in so many hours of dedication that when I did accomplish that goal of being back on the podium, it meant the world to me.
Mm. Do you feel that after having been on the podium and then coming back again, that there is a different kind of pressure when you're competing?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at my career, I mean, I finished outside the top 10 once. Mm-hmm. So I've been a favorite to do well for a long time. And there's always going to be external pressures, and learning how to understand what's in your control and out of your control is a really critical component to that. Because if you allow these outside external pressures to impact you, you're allowing things that are completely outside your control to impact your energy. And that energy, you only have so much, you got to put it into the events that are coming up. So I think there's always going to be this external pressure, but I think you got to learn how to control it. And that took me a lot of years to truly develop, and I'm still developing it now in business and in life.
Now, in CrossFit, particularly the games, like you're going through these grueling workouts, and as someone watching you guys make it look so easy some of the time, and then, like, you know, the stuff that you go through is just amazing. What is it like? How do you get yourself through the really tough moments mentally and to keep going physically?
Yeah, I mean, I think I alluded to it earlier, but ultimately it's, you got to know why you want to be there. Mm. I mean, and if you just go to the gym, or if you go to your garage and go do a workout, you know, the reason why you want to do it is to be in better shape for your family, to be there for your grandkids. And for me at the CrossFit Games, it had to be deeper than that, because, you know, I was already in great shape. But to compete at the highest level, you got to know why. I mean, I've been in really tough situations, and I've had to tell myself, like, I made a commitment, I chose to do this, and I need to go fulfill that commitment to myself and to my family. Mm. And that was my deep why, was I wanted to see where I stacked up. I wanted to honor all this hard work I was doing. And that's how you get through these tough times. You know, I've passed out twice in events. I've had a lot of, you know, tough moments, but I've been proud to say that I've been able to get back up from that.
Now, you on your website, you have a really nice, I guess, approach where you say being an athlete doesn't stop when you exit the arena, field or court. It's a lifestyle. How has this approach served you in your life?
You know, I incorporate something called the AMRAP mentality. I've been working on this book forever. It shifted a lot once my daughter got sick. But AMRAP mentality is just, for those, you know, listeners who work out, and AMRAP is as many rounds of reps as possible. And, you know, you think if someone was to ask you, hey, do as many push-ups as you can in a minute, that's all you're going to do. That's what you're going to do for that minute. You're not going to think about anything else. Mm-hmm. And I think if we could take that focus we take to our workouts, that AMRAP mentality, and incorporate it into everything, that's how we can get more work done in less time. So you AMRAP each thing. So right now, you know, I'm only on the phone with you. I'm focused. I'm not distracted. When I'm done speaking with you, I'm going to go, you know, spend time with business. After the business, go spend time with the family. But I segment my day out, and I feel like I get a lot more accomplished. In this day and age, it's very easy to get distracted.
Yeah, absolutely. And I watched some content around your AMRAP mentality. And I guess you also talk about finding balance and how important being present in our lives is. And that's really, you know, they're tied into this. So for listeners who aren't really familiar with CrossFit, how could they apply this mentality to their lives?
Well, I mean, I think obviously I'm a huge proponent of exercise, of course. Mm. And, you know, CrossFit or not, it doesn't really matter to me. What matters to me is that people are just moving. And so I think a good way to start is just a 10-minute walk. And you AMRAP that walk, right? You try and go as far as you can. That first day, you just walk. And the next day, you know, a couple days later, try it again. But while you're walking and you're focused on that one task, you can see that when you're just present and focused, doing squats, push-ups, whatever, and how that relates. And I think what's interesting is if people really sat down and said, okay, for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to only do emails. But then all of a sudden, they're 15 minutes in, they start getting distracted by Facebook. They need to stop and reflect and realize that when they get distracted, it takes them an additional 15, 20 minutes to get their mindset back in the mode to get back to those emails. Mm. So instead, set a timer, hit your emails, and the timer's up, go back to what you're doing. I mean, a phenomenal example is people at restaurants. I mean, nothing frustrates me more. If you're going to go out to eat with someone and spend time with them and you choose to spend time with them, then spend time with them. Mm. And don't be on your phone the whole time. Now, if you want to be on your phone and you have business or work to do, I totally appreciate that. But just get up from the table or don't go to dinner. But if you're going to be sitting there and you're going to be in the presence of other people, give them that respect and be present and focused on them. And I think for a lot of years, I lacked that in my life. And now I'm really inspired to share that message because you can get more work done in less time.
Mm. Yeah, it's so true. And I don't know, you've probably seen this before, where, you know, sometimes people, a group will go to dinner and they put their phones in the middle and the first person who touches their phone throughout dinner has to pay for the meal. I don't know if you've heard that before.
No, but I think that's a phenomenal idea.
Yeah, and because we do it so unconsciously a lot of the time, you know, it's like there's a moment or you just reach for your phone, and that is a good exercise.
Yeah, and I think the reality is when people start recognizing that if they segment their day and prioritize and focus, they'll just get more work done. I mean, that's what CrossFit has really shown me, that, you know, I used to spend 2 hours in the gym doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that. All of a sudden, you put a clock to it and you get some effort going and your results just skyrocket.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's so much fun. I know for me, when I've done CrossFit, I just love the variety. I used to get so bored just training with a trainer or just going to the gym, you know, doing the same movements all the time. And I think it's such a personal journey, you know, and such a mental journey too. You can observe your mind and see how you're responding to whatever's taking place, and, you know, learning to be able to get past those challenging moments and get through them. And then you walk out of there and you're like, oh yeah, you know, that was really hard, but I got through it.
Exactly.
Now, your wife Ashley and yourself have been together since you were 14.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is pretty impressive, especially in today's day and age. And you've obviously grown together to stay together. And I was just wondering, you know, how have you nurtured your relationship over these years?
I mean, you know, utilizing the AMRAP mentality has been really a critical component. You know, when I was trying to balance competing at the highest level, we have a company that's pretty good size and we have 2 children. And so it's prioritizing and focusing and being present is the goal. And I think a lot of people, you spend a lot of time with people, but they're not necessarily really there. So I really tried to focus on that. And I think that's been one major thing of our relationship. And, you know, obviously regular check-ins to see how things are going. With our daughter getting diagnosed 2 years ago with leukemia, it really transformed our relationship and the way we communicated. And I just think setting up regular date nights and you know, having real adult conversations has been critical for us.
Mm. Now, you touched on Ava getting diagnosed with leukemia. In that moment that you found out, how did you feel?
I mean, not good. you know, you can't really describe it, right?
Yeah.
It's you know, I've been through a lot of challenging moments in sport, but in sport, it's not really a life and death thing. It's more of a win or lose, ego's on the line, money's on the line. You know, you can get injured, of course, and there's obviously negatives that could occur. But in this particular case, you're talking about, you know, some very serious stuff. And so I think ignorance was bliss at the moment. Mm-hmm. I didn't know everything about the disease. That was helpful at the moment, but I knew it was really bad. If I knew what I know now, it probably would have been worse. But I don't know. I mean, it's just, imagine someone just kind of punching you in the stomach and then in addition to that, you know, sharing information that was, you know, the most shocking of your life at the same time. It's pretty tough.
Has this experience made you appreciate your family and your life more?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been life-changing. You know, I remember the night that she was diagnosed, I put up something like asking for you know, thoughts and specifically prayers. And it's been phenomenal, the feedback we've gotten from people. But one of the things I wrote was like, life changed. And I didn't realize it at the time how much it changed my life, but it really has. I mean, everything about it, from changing my perspective to the importance of family. So many different things have changed. And frankly, now that we've gone through this process, I'm grateful for the outcome, and I'm grateful that we can learn so much at a relatively young age, because I think that's going to transform the way we look at everything for the rest of our lives.
Is there anything that Ava has taught you about this experience that you guys have gone through together?
Yeah, I mean, I think, first off, children are much stronger than we give them credit for. Mm. But secondly, I would just say that, you know, at the end of the day, just the strength, right, was really phenomenal to see. You know, she's been through more than, you know, I mean, she's been through a lot, and she never really complained, and she just has attacked it. And so that strength, I think, is going to live with her forever. And so I'm very excited about that. You know, she knows what she has an idea of what she wants to do for a living now, be a nurse. Mm-hmm. She has the strength to kind of attack anything after what she's been through. So she taught us a lot.
Yeah. I'm sure as well for her, having parents with, you know, such a great connection, and even I think, you know, your experience in life with sports and things like that. And I think everything, it all comes into play and would have supported her through the journey as well.
For sure. I mean, I think, you know, through sports, you have so much adversity, like I was talking about earlier. And I think that played a huge role in her diagnosis. I mean, you know, we attacked it like if it was a, you know, like the biggest, you know, event of our life, you know, and it is. Mm. And, you know, if you sit on the sidelines and let it go by, you know, you could, outcome will be the outcome. But if you attack it, you educate yourself, you provide the best care you can, you know, you do everything you can, then I think the outcome could be different. And we've been very, very blessed that it's been good. You know, she just finished treatment about a month ago.
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear that, and good on her for being such a trooper as well.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Now, before we finish our conversation, I've got a few signature questions that I ask everybody at the end.
Sure.
If you weren't in your current career doing the things that you do today, what would you like to attempt?
Man, if it was like being who I am today with the exposure I've had to a bunch of stuff, I probably would have gotten into some type of law enforcement or military, I figure. But at an early age, I never had a desire to do that. Mm-hmm. But at this age, there's something that seems rewarding about it. I would say that.
Okay, great. And is there anything that scares you?
I mean, not to be like cliche, but I would say, you know, waking up 10, 20 years from now and thinking that I didn't reach my full potential. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, do I like spiders and snakes? Not really. But what I really don't like is thinking that, you know, one day I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be old and gray and be like, man, I had a really good opportunity there and I didn't take it. And I wouldn't want to have any regrets. Mm. I wouldn't want to think that I could have done more. And I think, you know, at this point in my life, I feel like, you know, especially with my CrossFit career, I feel like I did do the best I could. And it's nice to be able to think that way for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. And is there one thing, or what's the greatest thing you learned about yourself through competing in the CrossFit Games?
I mean, I think, you know, I learned that when my back was really up against the wall, that I had the mental strength to stand back up again and finish the task. And, you know, I could even say that same thing with our daughter and what we've gone through. I think my wife and I have gotten closer because of it. I think we attacked it. And it feels good to be able to look her in the eye and be like, dude, we took that head on. You know, I've been in a lot of competition moments where my back was against the wall, where I had a gut check. And I think those are the moments where I got to decide, am I going to get back up and finish, or am I going to turn over and not? And I think that with that, and then obviously with Ava getting sick, in those moments of adversity, in those moments of trial, so far, I think I've personally in my family have chosen the side to step up and fight versus, you know, sit back and let it go by. And that can be in sport or life or whatever. And that's something I'm really proud of in my competitive career, that each time I was presented with the challenge, I did the best I could and I finished out the event, which is really cool.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for our conversation today. I've really enjoyed it. And it's been a delight, you know, watching all the content that you put out there and all the change that you're creating in the world with all your gyms. I think, you know, there are a lot of people doing similar things to you, but my perception of you, you know, you have a real humility about you. And I just love that, you know, you're doing this for the community as well and inspiring so many other people to be their best as well. So it's a real pleasure to chat.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me on. And I hope you have a phenomenal day.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you for listening to this podcast with Jason. If you enjoyed the show, then please leave me a rating on iTunes because it helps other people find the show and learn about different ways that they can be their best.